Let's do take our Bibles and turn to Nehemiah. Nehemiah, chapter 12. And read one verse. That is verse 43. Nehemiah, chapter 12. And verse 43. Let me just make short announcement too, that obviously we are not continuing in Sermon on the Mount today. Well, I guess it's obvious. Sometimes we do read other passages first, but we are not going to continue in the Sermon on the Mount today. Subject of remarriage is the subject that we have to come to, and which I've been coming to in study and prayer, but various difficult issues with remarriage, and the Lord has not seen fit, at least this week, to give enough light to preach. So we're going to postpone it at least 1 week and see what further light God will give on His blessed Word. So today we're going to come to Nehemiah, chapter 12, and let's read together now, verse 43. Also, that day, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also, and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Amen. The reading of God's Word. Let us, with this Word open before us, pause and pray that God will help us as we hear and preach this Word. Our Father in Heaven, we bow before Thee again. We would ask Thy great help. The Word would be preached in season and out of season. O Lord, I pray, bless this Word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, we're going to be preaching especially, or at least more particularly, to children. Not that we don't expect children to learn, to apply the messages we usually preach that are normally perhaps intended for adults. But again, the congregation comes together as families to hear the Word of God. You can take this up even from the New Testament, where most of the instructions seem to be spoken in such a way, given in such a way, that adults are normally the most understanding of its recipients, its contents. But you notice also how Paul directly says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. A couple of times. Ephesians, Colossians. John the Apostle talks to the young men, as Paul does as well in Timothy. So there's certain groups sometimes singled out for particular things for them in relation to God and His Word and what He expects. And today again, we wish to single out the children. But I trust just as children should learn from when we preach on adults, or even singles should learn when we preach on marriage. Those that have never been and in God's will never will be divorced yet, we need to learn what God's truth says about all these things, even if we're not particularly in that relation or in that state. One great reason is because God's Word, all of it is profitable. All of it fits us. So we're throughly furnished unto all good works. And some of those good works may be to help one that is in that state that we're not in, to understand what God's will is for them, what His promises are to that particular situation we may never be in. So let us all then gain from God's Word this morning. Our subject today is children's happiness. children's happiness. What makes children happy? What do children get excited about? What makes you as a child joyful? Let us not restrict children just to the very little ones. Children can be all the way up to the upper teens, especially in the Bible. We've noticed other times that the little ones that Moses speaks of and the Lord speaks of in Numbers, when, remember, the children of Israel in the wilderness, the children there, of course, being all of Israel, adults as well as what we call the children, popularly. When they were in the wilderness, remember, they rebelled and they complained and they almost really cursed God, especially God's providence to them. He says, you all die. But he put the line at 20 years old. And everybody under 20 was called a little one. Now, that may not set well with some today, but they were the minors of that generation, even as it is today, though we don't usually refer to an 18-year-old or a 19-year-old as a little one. But in comparison, if you just have the two things of a child and an adult, a minor and a, I wouldn't say a major, but, you know, the legal age, then you have that twofold distinction. So let us not just restrict little ones or children to just, you know, somebody under 10 years old or something. But what makes children happy? Is it a new toy? Is it the ability to play and do what you want all afternoon? Maybe your favorite dessert, your cookies, your dolls, your play guns, oh, new clothes, maybe going on a vacation and trips, maybe a favorite movie. These things do naturally excite children of whatever age. New four-wheel drive or Mustang for the older little ones. Or a new real gun. The real question is, though, today, not what makes you happy, but what should make you happy. What should make you happy in the ultimate sense? Not that we're not to rejoice in these good gifts of God, the things we've mentioned, used properly, especially with movies, proper movies and games. Not all are proper, toys as well, but considering, for our purposes, godly things in these areas. We should give thanks. It's one of the problems with men. They hold the truth under. They suppress it. They hold it down. And they're not thankful. Children, you should thank the Lord when He gives you these things. These things, as the Bible teaches, are temporal. They fade away. They rust. They break. They're stolen. They're lost. They corrupt. So does the joy that came with them. So does the happiness that went along with them in their use. But what is a joy that no man can take from us? What is a joy that is above these things, that is more directly related to God? That is what we want to ask. Where is that joy? Where is that happiness? And I think our text answers it for us. Remember what the verse said, right there in the middle, that God had made them rejoice with great joy. Notice, the wives also and the children rejoiced. The children rejoiced. I'd like to ask you to come with me today. Let's see, children, what made these children of Nehemiah's day, what made them rejoice? What made them delighted and filled with joy and happiness, so that when they rejoiced, when they praised and they sang, it was heard afar off. Text says, first thing I want us to notice is the occasion of the children's joy. The occasion of the children's joy. What was the circumstances? Rather, what was the things that were happening, I should say, the occasion? Well, if you look back in verse 27, it tells you what was going on this great day. Verse 27 says that the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. The wall of Jerusalem. They had been building this wall for a while. Had many obstacles, which we'll mention some of them in the next point. But the wall of Jerusalem, remember, was broken down because of sin, apostasy. And God destroyed it. And yet, God put in the heart of Nehemiah to go back and to look and to survey and to rebuild the temple, or rather the walls of Jerusalem. Also, the temple was rebuilt at this time as well. But this in particular is the walls of Jerusalem. Remember, in Revelation 21, that the city of Jerusalem is a picture of the church, of all believers of all time, is the true, the heavenly Jerusalem, the bride of Christ. The church then is perfected, completed, and really on that last great day we'll have all the elect saved and brought home to Christ as His bride. But even here and now we may see perfections, the walls being built, the walls of believers being sanctified by the Spirit of God. First of all, being saved, regenerate, giving a new heart. Thus the faith and the repentance and the holiness that comes with that same Spirit. So the walls are being built. Remember, Peter says, you're as lively stones being built up into a house. We see these stones laid in Jerusalem, laid in the church, if you will. This is the occasion that we may have. And they give us then great reason to rejoice. And even to set apart a day to praise God when you see these things happening. But children, the occasion, the time of the place and the activities were they being the perfection of the church. But notice also the circumstances of this dedication. There were some things that were accomplished, not just the building of the wall. That was, as it were, the physical sight that you could see. When we have people being brought into Christ, when we have people being perfected by the Spirit of God in their sanctification, you can see progress. This shows that there is a victory. There's a victory. You see, Nehemiah had to contend against apostasy. We'll not read all the passages in Nehemiah that speak of this. But even back in chapter 2 and verse 10, we have this. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, that is, that Nehemiah had come back to seek the welfare of children of Israel, which we'll say, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. These used to be in line of the godly. Their history goes back to connections with the godly seed. And yet now they're not. They're opposed to the true faith of the people of God. And they were grieved. Verse 19 of the same chapter. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite and Gishon, the Arabian, heard of it. They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, "What is this thing that ye do? Will ye rebel against the king?" You see, they put all these roadblocks in us to try to stop us from doing the Lord's will. Notice in verse 1 of chapter 4, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews." Doesn't it sound like the apostate in Acts 13? When Paul was giving the preaching of the gospel to the sheriff or the sergeant there, I forget which way it's listed, and this apostate went and opposed and tried to undo the work of the apostle Paul. Took indignation and mocked him. "And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, 'What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?' Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, 'Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall.'" See how they mock them? All they can do, anything they'll even build, is so feeble, it's so flimsy, that a fox just go up there, will make it fall down. You know how foxes are, you've seen them. They're not a strong bear. They're not like a lion. They're very small. Not that you want to get in a fight with one. They have sharp teeth. But they're not a big, bulky animal that can push and shove things over at their will. They're mocking them. They're saying, you know, will they fortify? Will they do anything? They're feeble. Children, sometimes a church looks feeble. Sometimes the building of the church starts very little. And those that are opposed to the truth of the sacrifice, notice, they don't like it. They don't want us to sacrifice. They don't want us to preach Christ. They don't want us to be revived. So will they revive the stones out of the heaps? Will you see Christians being revived? The doctrines of the gospel coming in with great power again? Even if they do a little bit, it'll just be something that'll fall right over. You can read more even in chapter 6, the entirety of the chapter. But there's a great victory, because why? The things that these apostates, children, prophesied and said, "Oh, you are so feeble, you're weak." Perhaps they even would have said and thought, "Your greatest men are like little children, you just push over." And yet what? Greater was the God of heaven that Nehemiah and his men and his womenfolk and his children looked to than these that would oppose the work of God. Isn't Jesus Christ greater than all the foes? He says, "I will build my church," children. That means children too. If you notice in some of the passages of the New Testament, it is Christ saying, "I came to seek and to save that which is lost." And some of those references are directly to children. The devil thinks, what a feeble place. We can oppose that very easily. We can take them back. But no, Christ says, "When I build my church," and I will, he says, "not even the very gates of hell shall stand against a new opposition successful to our Jesus Christ." Children, what's said of God, Jehovah, in Psalm 115, is applicable to Jesus Christ. "He is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." He's pleased to build his church. So the circumstance is a great victory. God had builded the church against apostasy, against the devil, all the obstacles. But notice, circumstances also, in verse 43, they offer great sacrifices. Great sacrifices. They approach Jehovah by sacrifice and rejoicing. Children, do you approach God by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Remember, Hebrews shows us that the repetition, that means they had to sacrifice daily for the sins of the Jews, points them to the fact that if it was a perfect sacrifice, it was something that was actually did something, it had to be repeated. It says of Jesus that He did not enter into the holy place of blood often, that is, every year, as the high priest used to have to do. For then, it says in verse 26 of Hebrews 9, He must often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once, in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. Children, are you rejoicing in that? Is that how you're approaching God to be happy? Upon the sacrifice? What reason you have to joy? Are you sanctified? Are you made clean? Are you imputed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ this morning? Do you know the joy of the forgiveness of sins? This is the circumstances of this great joy. The victory over apostasy. And the looking to the sacrifice. But notice also the company that the children are with when they rejoice. Who's around them? What kind of people are around them? Verse 43 again. That day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. You know, that's interesting. It's speaking really there of the husbands and the priests and men. Because notice what it says, the wives also and the children rejoiced. So not only was just the children there, but there was their parents, their fathers, their mothers. Also, in verse 42, we notice that the priests, Levites, the singers, the ministers, the rulers of God were there. They say the church was assembled. They didn't have, in this instance, separate classes or separate meetings, but they all came together to praise and worship God. It wasn't just children with children. You know, today it's very popular that, well, we have to have just the children's group or the teenage group or the high schoolers, the junior high, and the little ones. Beyond that, divide everything up. Then we can worship God, right? We'll feel more comfortable with our own age. It's not the view here, is it? These children didn't have to have just their ages to rejoice, to be full of happiness at the building of the church, at the sacrifice of Christ. They rejoiced with their parents, with their elders and ministers, the rulers. You see, I think we could say it's a sign of godliness in children that they want to be with their parents and with their pastors in the work of God and in rejoicing in the same reviving grace that they see manifested in the church. Children, do you have the same interest in the work of the church that your parents do, that your pastors do? Are you wanting to see people added to the church? People being saved? Or people being brought into membership? Is this something you want to rejoice in? And do rejoice in when God doesn't? May it be. Notice also, fourthly, the subjects of this joy. That is the ones who are doing it. We've been mentioning it all along. It's children, isn't it? The children we're focusing on today. They're not out in the world yet pursuing their own work and building their own families, contributing perhaps very much to the work of God in some ways. Yet, they rejoiced, as we've noticed, in the church's prosperity. They rejoiced by the means of sacrifice. Let me just reiterate again, it's never too young to be interested. To interest yourself, to choose to be interested in the work of God, in the things of God, in the Word of God. Maybe some would even think it's not very cool to be interested in the work of God. To be older, an older child. Other things seem more neat, more acceptable to others to be interested in. Like I said, these temporal things that people, even as young people, as older children, younger children, pursue, that's their whole life. Instead of being things that we do, yes, in this life to live and to get along and to enjoy God's gifts, but it's not the thing that we seek primarily. It's only a means to an end of enjoying God and in glorifying Him. Also, you're never too young to express that joy over the church's prosperity. Not too young to interest yourself in it, and you're not too young to express the joy. Remember what Christ said, quoting the Old Testament, God ordained praise out of the mouth of babes and sucklings. You're never too young to praise God for His work in the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's consider, children, your own hearts today. I want to ask some solemn questions to you. Some of these we're just bringing more to a point that we tried to mention earlier. The first one is this. Are you rejoicing? Are you being filled with joy and excitement at the news of one sinner repenting and believing on Jesus Christ? You know, it says that heaven rejoices. Maybe other men won't. Maybe our friends, our neighbors won't. Doesn't matter, does it? We need to be in tune with heaven. So that when that one stone is laid upon that building, oh, we rejoice. What about if you see one of your siblings or some other child, old or young, whatever, or other Christians, whatever age they are, doesn't matter, going on in sanctification? You can tell the difference. They're making progress. The Spirit of God is working in them. God is working and willing them, making them able to do the Word and the will of God. We think, well, I'm sure they've got their faults. Nah, that's just one thing. They got a lot of... Or do we rejoice? I'm sorry, you can be convicted that we're not going as fast as we'd like or should be. But are we happy that God's work is going forward against the devil's opposition? As a child, are you? There's some things that will hinder your joy, children, that will make it hard for you to rejoice and be happy at the church's progress. The first one is this, that you're not rejoicing in the sacrifice of Christ. You see, because you can come to church as a child of a believer, you should be baptized. But that doesn't make you one in itself that will rejoice in the sacrifice. Because see, that's a spiritual work. It's a work that baptism does not do. It is a work that your godly parents do not do. It's a work that your ministers and elders cannot do. God and God alone must do it in your heart. If you don't have that, if you're not saved, you won't have these new desires. You won't have the ability to rejoice when the walls are finished. When you see the perfections of the church, you won't have it. In fact, you will have, if you stay in that state, everlasting destruction. But say you are saved. Do you look to yourself? Are you selfish? Whatever pleases me, whatever goes my way, whatever furthers my little plans or my big plans, then I'll be happy. Or do you even look for yourself to see if you're worthy of God's favor? That also will bring unhappiness. You're not worthy of any. It's by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. What about if we look to others for their approval? Especially the unsaved. So we want to do things that they like, so they'll accept us as their friends. We'll try to behave like them, and we'll start picking up the attitude, so that will destroy your joy in God, in His work. That's worldliness. You as children, some of you perhaps that will listen to this sermon, may be in a place where your parents don't go to church. Maybe that it's up to you to get there, especially you older children that may be listening. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is, because that, again, you will start to be hardened by sin, backsliding. And then again, you won't have joy when Christ is building His church, when Christ is perfecting His saints, when the people of God are rejoicing over God's progress. You won't be there. You won't be among the people giving a great cry of joy. But let me encourage you, children, to joy in the Lord and His work. You need to be looking to Jesus, don't you? Loving what He loves, hating what He hates. You need to be looking to Him for the help. Because you see, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. I'm not talking about something we whip up ourselves in, but the work of the Spirit in your heart as a child. So when you see God's blessing upon His people, upon His church, the Spirit of God works in you that excitement, that joy, that happiness. Oh, pray for that. Pray that God's Spirit, us parents, let us pray for that too. While I'm just speaking to parents, may we go on to see too that we, with the children, need to love all of God's people, to be with them, to love their company. We as parents shouldn't push off children in our assemblies, in our meetings, in our even our conversations as well. They're not, really, you know, they don't really know much. They're not really any fellowship. No, we need to include them when we can. Obviously, there's proper time for children to be quiet, to listen. We never want to have the attitude that they're second-class Christians. The disciples did, didn't they? Oh, get those children away. Drive out the mothers bringing up the little children. No. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. May that be our attitude ourselves. That we would suffer, that we would allow the little children to come unto us and speak with us and encourage them and not to turn them away and forbid them. Children, you too, don't despise the company of older people. Older Christians. Learn from them. Be around them. See what they talk about. Learn your theology from the godly as they tell you what the Scriptures mean. Learn how to live by watching them. Love Jesus' Word. Psalm 119 is a long song about the blessings of the Word of God. How does a young man keep his way pure? How does a child, how does a young woman? By taking heed according to the Word of God. same section says we need to hide the Word of God in our hearts. Why? We might not sin against Thee. Do you have then this joy? If you're a believer, you don't. Children, ask the Lord to do it. If you're an unbelieving child, oh, come to Jesus today. He said, what? Suffer the little children to come unto Me and forbid them not. Is everyone that is thirsty, come. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life. That includes children. Come to Jesus today. Come to Him without delay. Amen. And may God bless this to our hearts this morning. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for this word of the children rejoicing in the work of God. Oh, we pray that we would have many children rejoicing with their parents and preachers and elders at the work of God going forward. Lord, bless the children that will hear this. They may know in the heart the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. Seeing the living stones piled up. Seeing Christ destroying the gates of hell. Oh Lord, forgive us of our sins. For pushing away children or thinking of them, Lord, as less than deserves our attention. Oh God, help us. Help the children, Lord, not to be so influenced by their peers or even their own hearts and the deceitfulness of them, that they don't want to be around adult Christians and older adult Christians. But Lord, may they love every saint, just as the adult Christians are to love every saint. Oh God, we pray that we all come by the sacrifice unto Thee and rejoice together. For Jesus' sake, amen.